And appreciate you all at Crossroads. Amen. Amen. And you know, with names of churches, I always find it fascinating. You guys had changed it, right, to Crossroads, because you didn't just want to be identified as a Chinese church, but a church at the crossroads of the city, the culture, and just the place where God has you today. And it's a beautiful thing to be at the crossroads when God is at in charge. And so with that being said, I thank you for the opportunity to be able to come here. And I know this church is at a crossroads, right? You're in transition. That's not a bad thing. That's a God thing, right? That's a God thing. God has you in this place. And so for us, and so I titled this message, A Lengthened Period of Time. And so what kind of title is that? Well, let's shorten that word lengthen, and it shortens to Lent. And we are in a period of church history that was ascribed to us as a period of Lent. And Lent means a lengthened period of time. So that's where it comes from. Well, I learned that myself, so I'm sharing with you what I've learned. But it comes and derived from Scripture, primarily around Jesus's lengthened period of time being tested for 40 days and for 40 nights by the enemy. But let's keep in mind that that season was ordained by God. He was led into the wilderness by the Spirit. So let's not forget that. The enemy didn't just come and say, hey, come on, Jesus, let's get it on. But the Spirit of God led him in this season of 40 days and fasting. So keep in mind, God leads us in seasons of time. He leads us in sessions of time. He leads us in places that we don't necessarily are willing to go in, but yet God leads us into these situations to where we find ourselves. Where you're at as a ministry, where you're at individually, has not caught God off guard. God's not singing, God's not up in heaven wringing his hands like, oh man, how did they get there? What are we going to do? No. God knew exactly where you would be. So let's have a word of prayer as we just kind of go into what I feel God has given us for today. Father, right now, Lord, I just pray for the opening of, as we open your word, Lord, I pray you open our hearts, open our minds, open our spirits to hear from you today. Lord, let us be obedient to what we hear, oh God. And Lord, as we sing the song, Lord, that you hold fast to us, oh God, Lord, may we also hold fast unto you as Jesus fasted. Let us also fast and pray and just hold on to you, Lord, as we fasten ourselves to your word, as we fasten ourselves to your presence, as we fasten ourselves to your provision, as we fasten ourselves to your power, as we fasten ourselves to your will. In Jesus' name, amen. So this past Wednesday was Lent. It was actually Valentine's Day and Lent. So those that went out on Valentine's Day with ashes on their forehead, so be it, you know. that's not, you know, and so we're not Catholic, but there are more and more Protestants that are practicing Lent because it's a time to focus on God. And Jesus said, when you fast, right? So there was an expectation for God's people to have times of fasting. I don't think we do it, be honest with you, enough. You're seeing more and more the first of the year, many churches lead times of fasting. They like the Daniel fast. My wife and I did that. Comes out of the book of Daniel where he took 21 days and fasted. as he deprived himself of the king's food, not wanting to eat those things, and just ate fruits and vegetables. And he said at the end of that, and it was a test, because the king's servants, like, we can't have you malnourished. I'll get in trouble for that. And so he said, look, test us. Let us eat fruits and vegetables. And at the end of the 21 days, if we don't are not healthier, more fit, more knowledgeable, then we'll eat the other stuff. Came back around at the end of the 21 days. And sure enough, God's people eating God's food, God's way, were healthier and more fit and knowledgeable. So they didn't lose anything. They gained, if you will. As we push away, we gain. So that was last Wednesday, was Ash Wednesday. And so the way the calendar goes is the 40 days leading up to the resurrection. So when you count that, Lent ends on Easter Sunday, to which they break the fast in the sense of the resurrection and the celebration of the church being born through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So that's the history of that. That's kind of where that goes. We also see 40 days as a theme in Scripture. God sends 40 days of rain to the earth, 40 days and 40 nights in Noah, Genesis chapter 7, verse 4. You see Moses at the top of Mount Sinai receiving instructions from God. For 40 days he was on the mountain. And it's interesting about that, and story is found in Exodus 24. It says Moses went up to the mountain. Now he's up on the mountain for 40 days. It's like, what do you do for 40 days just up on the mountain? Well, look, he had a meeting, very important meeting with God. And so here it is. So if you read this, look at, follow me here. So this is Exodus 24, 15 through 18. And so it says, when Moses went up to the mountain, the cloud covered it. The glory of the Lord settled on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it for 6 days. And on the seventh day, he called to Moses from the cloud. So God said, hey, I want to meet with you. And he calls him into his presence and doesn't say anything for 6 days. How many of you will go to an appointment? And I mean, if we go to the doctor's appointment, the doctor got us waiting more than 10 minutes. We like, what's going on with this dude, you know, this lady or whatever, right? I don't have all day to wait. What if your doctor had you sitting in the office for 20, 30, 40, an hour? You know, we'd be ready to file a complaint, do all kinds of stuff. Like, this is not right. God had Moses waiting for 6 days. And he sat. Why did he sit? Because of who he was waiting for. God may have you sit and wait for a season of, for a moment or a season, but I guarantee you he's worth the wait. I guarantee you when he finally does come and answer you, what he has for you, what he says to you, be worth you waiting for him. That's how important this was. And so we can wait on God. It's okay to wait. Sometimes God will have us wait. And it's not like you're waiting for a doctor. It's not like you're waiting for your car to get done. It's not like you're waiting for a bus. You're waiting. There's a lot of things we wait for that we wait impatiently. But one, God is not one thing, one person, one appointment that we wait and should wait impatiently for. But God will have us wait at times, because we pray and we don't always get the prayers answered when we think they should be answered, right? And then you don't want to help God out. Trust me, folks, you don't want to help God out. Ask Abraham and Sarah, how did that work out for them? You know, God told them was they were going to have a baby. They got tired of waiting. And Sarah's made a suggestion. Abraham said, okay. And altered the course of history. But God's promises will be fulfilled, and sometimes you got to wait. So we have, you know, the story of Lent, or the story of Jesus's 40 days, and Matthew tells of it, Mark tells of it, and Luke also tells of it. And 40 days, once again, is a lengthened period of time. an extended period of time. But during this time, it's a time of testing. It's a time of divine intentionality. You see the Spirit leading Jesus, right? It's a time of need. Bible says he got hungry. And we gotta when that happens, when we get needy, when we get hungry, we gotta be careful and let God fill you the way God will fill you his way. Because that's when the enemy came in, right? It says, hey, you hungry, bro? Like, Jesus, you hungry? Why don't you turn these stones into bread? I mean, it's food. You can do this. You're the Son of God. Come on, man. Come on. Let's go ahead and make this happen. Which, would Jesus have been wrong for doing that? Not necessarily. But it was wrong from who the suggestion was coming from. Because he was trying to make a point that Jesus wasn't trying to make. He says, if you're the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. He's like, if you say who you say you are, Jesus doesn't have to prove himself to anybody. He doesn't have to prove himself to this church because he is who he says he is. Whether he does what you think he should do or not, he has already set things in motion. He rose again. He went to the grave. He rose again. He sits up on high and he says, come and follow me. Trust me. Rely on me. Put all your hope, all your faith, because all authority has been given to me. Will you trust me? Even if I don't do what you think I should do, even if I don't act in the way you think I should act. There's so many times in scriptures we see that. Even anybody been watching The Chosen? Don't miss it. Look, folks, it's a great series. Is really well done, and it's the chosen of the disciples and how Jesus chose the disciples. And it's just a modern narrative, if you will, but it's set back in first century Palestine. But what it really paints is just some of the dynamics and the interactions and some of the, even the potential thought processes the disciples had, the struggles they had, and the reality of what Jesus was saying and what he was doing, and even their perspective of that. But it really puts a human touch and lets us kind of visually see some of the stuff that scripture does point out. So it doesn't take a lot of liberties to take you way out here in thought or drama or cinema to make you, you know, that they don't take a lot of liberties that Hollywood would take. They really are cautious and intentional with what they show you. But I say that to say, you know, when John the Baptist goes to prison and he sends word to Jesus, like, are you the one or should we look for another? Well, why would John say that? Because John, and this actually didn't have nothing to do with the movie, this is all found in scripture, but John the Baptist is sitting in prison because he thought, as the forerunner of Christ, he understood his assignment. What he didn't understand was the completeness and what that assignment was going to look like. Like, I'm actually in jail. I thought we were setting things up, Jesus. I thought we was about to set up things and rule and reign. We about to do this. I'm your cousin. You know, I'm blood on top of that. And I'm the forerunner. Let's go. How can I go if I'm in jail? So he's like, and you got to keep in mind, John already said to Jesus, he said, he anoints him, baptizes him, saw the Spirit descend out of heaven, land on him. The voice of God shows up. So he's confirmed. He knows this is him, but yet he's in jail, and being in jail made him second guess this. He said, are you the one or should we look for another? Now, the beauty thing about the Lord, and he doesn't respond like, John, come on, get over it. Of course I'm the one. Nope. He says, send word back to John. The lame walk, the blind see, and the gospel is being preached. He said, the work of God is going forward. You may not be where you think you should be, but trust that God is in charge. He knows exactly where you are. He knows this lengthened period of time that you are in, church. Will you still trust him? In spite of what things feel like, way things are, will you trust his leading, his guiding, that the Spirit has allowed this moment to take place and has not caught God off guard? And you can trust him and rest in him and rely upon him for where he has you and where he's taking you. So it's a time of a need. When he was hungry, we got to let God fill us the way he desires. It was a time of separation for Jesus. It was a time of isolation. It was a time of preparation. And it was a time of also elevation. Because if you remember with John the Baptist, he's like, you know, I must decrease and he must increase. So even in times where God has you, there's always an elevation aspect, because as you fast and acknowledge the season and the place that God has for you, there's always what's coming after that. Is a place of blessing, a place of encouragement, a place of resting and trusting in him. He was alone in that wilderness for 40 days, but God was doing something in him and was ultimately doing something through him. A lengthened period of time is a time of waiting on the Lord, waiting for both his purposes, earthly and eternal. You know, God has earthly purposes and he has eternal purposes. And they work hand in hand, because he gets us through these earthly things and obstacles to get us to our eternal destiny. Holding on to his everlasting love. But you must believe this. You must hope in this. You must have confidence in this, and don't be moved nor shaken, because God is in charge and you can trust him with all that you have. He says he was led in the spirit. He was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness. The Spirit of God has led him and has led us. If we've been faithful, the Spirit has led us into where we are today. If we acknowledge that God has us here, he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Listen, he was in the wilderness. God has us at times in the wilderness places. They're lonely, desolate places at times. But guess what? God is also in those places. And actually, he's closer in those places. You know, there's a scripture that talks about dwelling in the shadow of the Most High. Corrie Ten Boom was in the Holocaust, and she wrote some things. In one of her devotionals, she wrote, "Sometimes in your suffering, and God is so close, it is his shadow that we are in." So that darkness is darkness because he's so close and we're in his shadow. The shadow is the darkness at times, but the shadow is the shadow of God. And so sometimes it's dark because God is so close. That's the tension we wrestle with. The shadow of the Most High. The Spirit leads us into seasons to be tested. God leads us into seasons where we're really not necessarily desiring to be, but they're necessary seasons. They're seasons of challenges, seasons of change, seasons of preparation, seasons of separation from situations, sometimes from people. Remember that season. I remember that season for us as God was preparing us for the next season. For ministry, I would say it was just really challenging. I remember being at home, and I would do, my wife would say I have a little ADD, right? So I do these random things. So, you know, I'm not a gardener, but I remember one of the few times that I went outside to prune a tree was a very random thought. You know, so I go outside and start pruning the tree. You know, I don't know what thought hit me or prompted me to prune the tree, but I went out there to start pruning the tree. And as I was pruning the tree, I felt very clearly the Lord saying, this is what I'm doing to you. I'm pruning you. But the pruning may hurt in the moment, but the purpose of the pruning is for what? For production. And God does, guess what God does with his people? He will prune you. And that's a shaving away. It's never pleasant. Discipline is never pleasant, the scripture says, in the moment. But in due season, it will reap a harvest. God is doing that pruning in order to produce more out of you. But he has to cut away at things that are no longer necessary or needed so that you can bear much fruit. So that idea or the illustration that he gives in the natural has a very spiritual implication for us as believers. God does prune. And there was another way God spoke to us, and we had our kids in Christian school. And I remember, I don't know if it was our firstborn or secondborn, they came home with this little sheet of paper, and it had these little worn out pair of shoes on it. And it was a coloring paper. They were to color it. But it had on there Hebrews chapter 12. A little pair of shoes with the scripture, Hebrews chapter 12. And it said, run with perseverance the race marked out for us. The race marked out for you. Those little pair of shoes just spoke to us. I still remember to this day, and that was probably over 20 years ago. Run with perseverance the race marked out for you. You realize what you're dealing with, the face, the situation in your personal lives, as well in the life of this ministry, is a race that was already marked out for you, already prescribed for you. That every person, a part of this ministry, God knew that in that moment and has prescribed a race for you. That you're to run it with perseverance. That's endurance. That's trusting. That's relying upon him. And it's not a quick race. You will finish this race. You just got to keep going. Sometimes it's a walk. Sometimes it's a crawl. Sometimes you just got to sit and rest. But the race has been marked out for you. Already set up by God, who numbered the hairs on your head and gave you every day of your life. He knows that much about you. He is that involved and that connected and that close to you. That's the God that we serve. Let us run this race with perseverance. So the temptation, what was the point of the temptation? The temptation by Satan is designed to draw you away. And the idea of temptation that is pulling you away from something, is tempting you, right? So it's to draw you away from a virtuous place with God. So Jesus is fasting, he's praying, and in a very close virtuous place with God, but the enemy comes to tempt him, and that's to draw him out of that place that he is with God. And that's what the enemy does right now with us when he tempts us. And the Bible says, I think it's James, there's no temptation that sees you, but that which is common to man. And he also said, when you're tempted, don't say you're tempted by God, because it's what's inside of you that is the draw. If there's a carrot in front of you, and you're not drawn to carrots, it's not a temptation. But if you love carrots, it has now become a temptation. Well, guess what? He's not going to tempt you with stuff that is not tempting. The enemy is going to tempt you with stuff because guess what? He knows you too. He doesn't know you because he created you. He knows you because he studied you. He's watched you. He knows your proclivities. He knows your strengths. He knows your weaknesses. He knows what to dangle in front of you to draw you from that place you are with God. That's why it's in temptation. But Jesus says, as he said to Peter, I got you. I got you. Stay in that place. Stay in that place. He said to Simon Peter, he says, Simon, Simon, Satan has requested you to sift you like wheat. He said, but I pray for you that your faith will not fail. He also says later in that text, he says, and when you return, strengthen your brothers. Jesus was the only perfect one. We're not perfect. We will fail. That's why Jesus had to come. That's why he had to die on the cross. That's why it's not our righteousness, it's his righteousness. That's why we are not on the cross. We don't have to go to the cross for our sins. He's already done that for us. All we have to do is repent and turn to him. Receive his righteousness for our rags. Be clothed in his will and his purpose as we surrender our own will and our own purpose. He's done it for us. We can trust him. We can rest in him. But the enemy will come and want you to fulfill your hunger, your need, your desires at times with the wrong things. We can't be tempted and fall away into those things. We have to remain in the virtuous place that God has for us. Jesus was reminded, and he said, look, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That's why it's so important, folks, to know your word. It's so important to study. It's so important to meditate. When Jesus was in John 4, he's having a conversation with the woman at the well. The disciples were going to go get food. They'd been hungry. They were hungry. They're coming back with sandwiches as the woman is leading out, like proclaiming and excited, because she just met someone that told her everything she ever done. And he told her, of all people, she was one of the first people that Jesus told that he was the Messiah. If you ever get into The Chosen, I'm gonna give you this spoiler. So in the interactions they show in town, this woman, and the woman at the well, the one that had the five husbands, right? And she, you know, she's at the well in the noonday because she was a repulse to the people. So they show what that looked like in town when she would go to vendors and they shunned her and said, put your money on the table. I don't want to touch it. When people, she walked by and they gossip, you know what she got going on. They showed that. They showed her being an outcast. It's like, wow. And then in the show, they show Jesus coming to the well. And when they got to the scene where the well was in sight, they showed him like, look at it. And if you know your Bible, you knew what was coming, which made it all so exciting because Jesus was purposeful. He didn't just happenly ran into that well and say, I'm tired. Y'all go get something to eat. No, he headed there for her. He met her right there. There, just like he meets us. Just like he meets us. Your salvation was not random. It was purposeful. You coming to know Jesus was not random. He sought you out. He came to you. You didn't do this yourself. You didn't save yourself. We can't save ourselves. We're stuck in our sin. We're stuck in our way of life. We're stuck doing things our way. And where has that gotten us? It got us absolutely nowhere. Even if you made all the money in the world, it wouldn't matter. Because Jesus put a squash in that. He said, what profit a man if he gains the whole world, yet loses his soul? He meets us right where we are because he loves us and he cares. So in this lengthened period of time, know that God is working something in you and through you. But we have to be open and willing for what God did with you that he wants to do with others. Let me say it again. What God did in you, he wants to do with others. And so we don't know what that looks like. That was another interesting dynamic as we watch in The Chosen, the interactions of the people, you know, like Matthew being a tax collector and the disciples having had paid him taxes that he done took from them. Jesus, you sure you want to call this dude? I mean, you know what he does, right? Yeah. And it took him a while to warm up to Matthew. It wasn't like, oh, yeah, hey, Matthew, yeah, we love you. No. But that's real because you find the disciples, even James and John and Andrew and Peter, and the tension that they have because they're jockeying for a position, all that stuff. But that's the humanity of who we are. And when people come through these doors, they may not look like you. I was telling folks, when we rebirth Rock Harbor, you know, we're dealing with people with tattoos. And I'm preaching like they may be tatted up. They may have piercings. They may have all this other stuff. Now, what we're dealing with, you may have a guy come in here that lived as a transgender that God is working on his life. He may be saved, but what he has started surgery, and so he may have a couple extra things attached to him. What do you do with that? Listen. I say this because that is our reality of the church today. You have to understand this. That's what we're dealing with as a church today. These are the people that God is saving. But if they have no place to go, y'all don't just, it's deep. It's deep. Every generation deals with a whole bunch of other stuff that the previous generation, we can say, oh, God, you must be done because it ain't us. Or is it you? You're at a crossroad. 59 years. And God's not done. Amen. Say that. God's not done. That's right. I'm getting this, but I am. Somebody said, but I am. All right, I'm done. We got to wrap up. So at the end of the day, my last point is that in a lengthened period of time is a time of waiting. And while you wait, guess what? God is working. While you wait, God, anybody that's waiting on the Lord, because who you waiting for? You're not waiting for some pastor to come up here and all of a sudden be your silver bullet. There's no silver bullets. Even when he comes, you have to work together to accomplish whatever it is that God has for the next season of this ministry. So while you wait, God says he'll bless you. Isaiah 30 says, blessed are all those who wait on the Lord. Psalms 127:13 says, I would have lost heart unless I believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And he shall strengthen your heart. Those that wait on the Lord, their heart shall be strengthened. Isaiah 40, verse 31 says, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings like eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. Waiting on God is the least you can do. Waiting for Jesus to show up and to show out. Waiting for him to speak to your situation, speak to your circumstances. Wait for God to move in your circumstances, in your situation. Waiting for him to answer your prayer. Waiting for him to give, that will give strength to you in your circumstances. Waiting for him to change something. Sometimes he's not going to change something. He's going to change you. Y'all waiting for him to change something, and he may be wanting to change you. Be open for that. Waiting for him to give you a pastor. Waiting for him to give you a partner to take you to the next season. Waiting for him to do only what God can do. You will be blessed as you wait on the Lord in this lengthened period of time. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. We love you. We adore you. We thank you for this time and your word, Lord, and may it do whatever you set it out to do in the hearts of those that hear it. Lord, I pray that many will be pricked, their conscience, their heart, and their mind by your spirit to be obedient to whatever it is you're calling them to do, Lord, as you may be sending people to this church, oh God. Lord, you may be sending this church out to people, oh God. Lord, but whatever it looks like, I pray that they receive it with open hearts and open hands, knowing that only what's being done is only what you can do. So we thank you, Lord, for the celebration of the 59 years of mission and ministry here at Berkeley Crossroads. May you bless all that they set their heart to do for you. And as they wait for you, may you bless them and encourage them. In Jesus' name, amen.